So this is a very special Sunday. What Sunday is it?
Candlemas.
Candlemas, all right, you gave the right answer right away. The presentation of our Lord, which we don't often celebrate on Sunday. It's usually an evening celebration, and we call it Candlemas because we are taking the light into the nations. Everybody gets a candle, and they light it, and they take it outside, and it's a wonderful celebration. We'll do that sometime. But it's great to have it on a Sunday so we can talk about why we do it. It's 40 days, basically, after Christmas. Commemorates when Joseph and Mary dedicate Jesus at the temple, called in Hebrew the Pidyon Chaben, that is the redemption of the son, and also the Korban Yod Lelet, which is when Mary offered her sacrifice after she gave birth to Jesus. Well, Luke is fond of seeing everything through the eyes of the little person, those who are unknown, those who you may not have heard of. So you have Elizabeth and Zechariah, and you have Mary, and you have these unknown but very special prophets, Simeon and Anna. And Luke also sees all of his gospel with the Holy Spirit's influence being everywhere. You know this because when someone is inspired by the Spirit, they immediately open their mouth and begin to speak. So you have the song of Zechariah, and you have the song of Mary, and here we have the song of Simeon. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. What we see in this story is a number of things. We see that Jesus' parents are godly, that they follow the Torah, that Jesus himself follows the pattern of the prophets, grows in wisdom and favor of God. And you see in the next story, Jesus in the temple at age 12, teaching the scribes. However, there's a connection with our discussion on vocation and calling. And today has its own take on calling in three ways. Number one, calling is present regardless of age. Number two, calling is centered in Christ. And number three, calling leads to Christ. First, calling is always present regardless of age. Simeon and Anna, they are older. Mary and Joseph, they are younger. And Jesus is 40 days old. And yet each of them had a special calling to move forward in God's plan. Joseph and Mary had this challenging task of raising the Son of God. And we know what was ahead for Jesus. But Simeon and Anna, they find their calling fulfilled at the end of life. In a sense, their life's calling was to wait, was to pray, was to fast. The latter years, what do they look like for us? Miami Beach, the golf course, travel, all wonderful things, of course. However, what is the deeper calling? Prayer, mentoring, teaching, waiting, discerning. Then, of course, there's midlife. When we look back at all the things we haven't accomplished, the places we haven't been, and the money we haven't made. And because of the economic challenges we see in our world, sometimes those in midlife have to completely remake themselves because their industries have disappeared or have been radically changed. So where do we find the call there? Sometimes we have to look back at those times when God's presence was there with clarity. and then we have to return. You see, both in the older years and in the midlife years, we struggle with that thing called regret. Ran into a book by Joan Chittister called The Gift of Years. I love what she says about regret. She says, regret nibbles around the edges of the mind, and we feel the weariness that comes with it. The years have slipped by without realizing it, and now it is too late to make the changes regret demands. Too late to take the trip I always dreamed of. Too late to get another job. Too late to move to the cabin in the woods. Too late to go to the big city where everything is surely bigger, brighter, and better. Excuse me. Too late to begin again, to do it better this time. Worst of all, regret demands to know why I did it in the first place. And I don't know. But it's not only the past that disappoints us when regret begins. The brooding slips over into the present, too. It sours the immediate. It takes the bounce out of our steps. Wherever we are now, whatever we're doing, we could have done something else. Something more satisfying. Something more important. Something more valuable. Now, she says there are two directions you can go with regret. One leads to depression, and one leads to calling. The one that leads to depression is the one that says, I wish I were somewhere else, doing something else with someone else. And then there's regret that says, I wish I wasn't such an angry person. I wish I didn't hold on to that bitterness. I wish I didn't feel so guilty about this or that. That kind of regret leads to repentance, which leads to calling, which leads to new purpose. Now, of course, there's also calling in childhood. It's never too early to speak of God's purpose and will for our children and our grandchildren. Have we forgotten to teach our children to pray and to study for things other than the best financial future for them, which is what we're obsessed with? That is important. But God's will is the most important. How will they behave in that great school that we wanted them to go to? How will they behave with that great job that they finally got? How will they behave with that spouse that we hoped they would find? Will they be little devils, greedy and self-centered? Or will they be disciples? Even and especially children are called. We must never forget that. Regardless of age, calling is always present. But what are we called to? Calling is always centered in Christ. Look at the story carefully. The center of everyone's calling in the story of the presentation is Jesus. And there's kind of an irony in the background. We see a sacrifice of pigeons and turtle doves. We see the temple, which is wonderful. But there's also a great foreshadowing. Simeon says that a sword will pierce your soul, talking to Mary, looking forward to the cross. The irony of the scene is that the true sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world is in their midst. The true temple, which is God's presence on earth, is in their midst in a tiny little child. This manifestation of God, which transcends all of the stones that Herod had built. Everything that Simeon and Anna Mary and Joseph, everything that defined their entire existence was there in the small child. Our calling begins with the acknowledgement that we need this Savior for all the world to see, that we need His work on our behalf. When we give last rites, we say this: by Your holy incarnation, by Your cross and passion, by Your precious death and burial, good Lord, deliver him. By Your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, good Lord, deliver Your servant. All of the redemptive work of Christ, all of these events in His life, are for us and on our behalf. And our calling begins when we say, I need that. Through baptism and faith, we are grafted into Christ's salvific work. Calling is in Christ. Lastly, our call is to Christ. Not only is fire insurance. What's fire insurance, Doc? Saving you from hell, right? That's not only what it's about. It's about a living relationship, a light that's in the darkness, a light to reveal to the nations, a light that everyone needs, that our world does not know or has somehow forgotten. Richard Rohr says, for postmodern people, the universe is not inherently enchanted as it was for the ancients. We have to do all the enchanting ourselves. This leaves us alone, confused, and doubtful. There's no meaning already in place for our discovering and enjoyment. We have to create all meaning by ourselves in such an inert and empty world. And most of us do not seem to succeed very well. This is the burden of living in our heady and lonely time when we think it's all up to us. And Rohr uses the analogy of Odysseus, who in Homer's Odyssey was always trying to get back home. He says that this inherent longing for home can help us find true relationship with God. He says, look at the telling word homesick. This usually connotes something sad or nostalgic, an emptiness that looks either backward or forward for satisfaction. There is an inherent and desirous dissatisfaction that both sends us and draws us forward. What appears to be past and future is in fact the same home, the same call, and the same God, for whom 1,000 years are like a single day, and a single day like 1,000 years. To be with God, now and always, is a call to Christ and what we all need. It is the homecoming that we and everyone long for. Roar again, and so, like Odysseus, we leave from Ithaca and we come back to Ithaca. But now it is fully home, nothing wasted. Even the dark parts are used in our favor. All is forgiven. What else could homecoming be? When we look outside of Christ, there's always a beckoning, a call to come back, whether for the first time or again. This is the light that we and everyone need. Calling, regardless of age, place, economic situation, calling in Christ and His salvific work, in calling to a real relationship with a real and living Lord. Let us pray. We thank You, O Lord, for the salvation